Good afternoon. Welcome back to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry with Tara Rye. We're excited to have you back with us.
Sandy Somm.
We've been discussing Joshua and how strong and courageous he was and how God just kept telling him to be strong and courageous because that was preparing him for the battle that he was about to go into. We talked about strong and being, meaning, you know, a spiritual resource, and courageous is to be fearless.
Do you always feel that you
fearless?
Can
no
yeah or even connected to your spiritual resources?
Not always.
Yeah, you know,
it'd be nice if I could say yes, but no. I know.
Well, let's recap the story so that people can understand. All right, a major thing has happened. Moses, the leader, has died, and God, who He has a plan and a purpose, a plan of redemption. He is at work through history, is not going to allow his people to be without a leader. And he has called out Joshua. Now, Moses told Joshua before he died that he was going to be the leader, but this is God speaking to Joshua. And so the death has occurred, and, you know, it doesn't tell us how God did it, whether God did it to him, you know, in his mind, or if it was an audible voice. It doesn't tell us, but it does tell us that it's the Lord who is speaking mm-hmm. to him. And the Lord is telling him, you need to get ready. I want you to get the nation together, and you're going to go, and you're going to possess the land I've promised. You're going to go and take back the land. And the land expands from as far as the sunset to the sunrise, or the sunrise to the sunset. That is how much land he has given the nation mm-hmm. of Israel. And he says, I want you to take your people and get ready, but you better be strong and courageous. And when you lead these people to inherit the land, he also tells them that be strong and courageous again. And then he talks to them about the importance of obeying the law that Moses had commanded them, and that in no way was he to turn to the left or to the right, or to walk away from the Word of God. In fact, he was to meditate on it day and night, and he was to never allow it to depart from his mouth, that it literally needs to be what he was speaking as the leader, that was the command given to him, that the Word of God was what to what he was supposed to be speaking. And so he's telling him this, and he tells him that if you do these things, you will inherit the land, you will be successful, you will be prosperous. Now, guys, this isn't about money or wealth. This is about spiritual character. It's about having blessing and peace in your life circumstances, regardless of what's going on. That is what it's talking mm-hmm. about, because there was nothing, going in and going into battle is not my idea of, you know, prosperous and, you know,
peaceful.
Right. But yet he was able to mm-hmm. be those things because he was an obedient to God. Right. He listened to what God had to say, and he obeyed what God told him to do. And then he went and he got the commanders, and he told them to get the people ready. They were leaving in 3 days. And then he went to the Gadites and the Reubenites and to the half tribe of Manasseh and told them, you know, okay, I know your land is outside here, but you've got to come. The men of valor have to come. And when you're done helping the rest of the nation possessing their land, then you can go back right. to your families. And the people said, we'll do what you tell us to mm-hmm. do. We will obey what you command us to do. And if anyone does not obey, they get put to death. Mm-hmm. Just be strong and courageous. So that's kind of the terror. That kind of sounded weird. That sounded like I said terror. It was the terror phrase of Joshua 1. And so now we're going to look at, we're finishing up. We've been looking at the commands and blessings that were given. Anytime we study the Word of God, we need to ask ourselves, one, we need to observe. So we've talked about that, you know, it was Moses' death and, you know, Joshua being called a leader. So you kind of observe it, look at the context and what's going on historically. But you also want to ask, is there a command given? And then you want to see if there's a promise given. And you can look and see if there's principles I need to apply into my life. And so that's what we're doing by examining the commands and the promises. And we've gone through and looked at that they were told, Joshua was told to get ready. He was told to be strong and courageous. He was told to lead the people. He was told to obey all the commands. And now we're going to look at, he was told when it came to the commands of God that were given through Moses, to not turn from the left to the right. What does that mean when it comes to the commands of God?
It means to obey the commands.
It
you
does.
Know, you can't just say, it's black and white.
It really
what it is.
Is. This
there
one
is. No, yeah.
And, you know, that turning to the left or to the right, there are a lot of things in my life that can distract me,
mm-hmm.
that can cause me to go to the left and to the right.
Absolutely.
And a lot of things in our world where we are taught things that cause us to go to the left or the right. But that's the reason why God wants us to know His Word.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know Genesis to Revelation. We can't just know a portion. And when I was younger, I was the first at taking the Word of God and saying, okay, I'm going to play Russian roulette, and I'm just going to open up and see what God has for me today. And that was good because that was my beginning
mm-hmm.
of getting into the Word of God. But I will testify, my life did not change until I started
reading the Bible.
Really reading mm-hmm. it in order to understand why it's laid out. But the thing that, you know, in the last few years, Sandy, you know I've done this, God put on my heart to be able to tell the story of the Bible, now not obviously in full detail, but a gist of it in my own words. And it takes me about 45 minutes to complete it. And if you're interested, you can listen to 6 sessions that make this complete on YouTube if you just Google Tara Rye. And that transformed my understanding of the Word of God. I can't even tell you how it transformed me.
It's just like any experience. You know, if you've read it, you understand it, and then you can relate it through a story. And I think people listen to it more, too, because it's just you talking to them about it.
Yeah.
Not hitting them over the head with the Bible, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, you know, the story can do that for us as well. The story has a way of reaching into our hearts in a way that we can't.
Yeah, that's what I meant. The story.
Yeah.
That really,
it really
does. It just makes personal or something.
It does. Yeah. It just, stories capture the heart.
Mm-hmm.
But as I learned the process of doing that, I had a better understanding of what it meant to not turn to the left or to the right. Because as I taught myself the order of what occurred in God's redemption from Genesis to Revelation, I got the big picture of what God was doing in the details of each book.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I began to understand it in a greater way than I have ever understood it. And it has taught me to really view circumstances with my family and those I serve from a biblical worldview. And, you know, and so when I have situations where I'm really called into account, okay, am I really going to apply what I have learned? You know, and in the last 2 years, I've studied a lot about the one another verses. Well, I now know what the one another verses say. And so I have learned how to focus in and not go to the left or to the right, but to really stay honed in on what God wants me to do with loving one another, to
right.
forgive and
serve,
to serve and to lift up
yeah.
and to encourage and to spur and to sing and to praise one another.
You're one anotherness. Where, you know, I've told you that our fellowship group has been doing the devotional. Well, now we've gone out to apply it.
That's awesome.
So we have gone out and helped people plant their gardens or weed. A widow that she had lost her husband. It'll be a year this August, I believe. But she blessed us more than we blessed her. It
and
was just
sweet.
So neat. And then we've taken food and gone to Open Door and
that's
served.
Awesome.
And it is. You know, I just told the gals, I said, this is fun. I said, you know, we can read and read and read, but until we actually apply it, it doesn't do any good.
That's exactly right. And, you know, and Sandy, that's one of the things I love about your group is that mm-hmm. You've taken the time this summer to walk the walk of
yes.
what it means. And so really that's an example of how you guys aren't turning to the left or the right, but you're moving forward in what you're
right.
studying. And that's what God's asking of Joshua. And Joshua, he does what God says.
He does.
Doesn't turn to the left or to the right. When God says you go in and you're going to march around this city, we'll look at that in a month or two. And you're going to march 6 times,
yeah,
and on the 7th time, blow a horn, and then the walls are going to come tumbling down. He did exactly what God asked of him. And honestly, I think I would have been one
I
that would have said, can I
kidding?
Turn to the right on this one, God? Can I take a detour?
There are those times in our lives when he tells us something, we're like, are you sure? We doubt it, you know, we shouldn't do that, but we do it.
I know. It's crazy. And he says that if you don't turn to the left or the right, you may be successful all the days of your life.
That's your blessing.
That is our blessing. The next command that God gives him, he says, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. What does that mean?
I had to think about that a minute.
What does that mean?
That was my thought, too, was what does that mean? Don't let it depart from your mouth.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. I honestly have to admit.
And I think what he's saying in their language is that should be all that comes from our mouth.
Okay. Well, I
thought
that's probably what he meant, but the wording was like, you don't want it to come out?
No.
Yeah, surely you do.
That is exactly what it is. That is all that will be coming out. I'm going to take it here. It's verse 8 is where that is at. And it says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And it says the book of the law, I'm going to read it. It's in the ancient world, reading written text and even meditating on them were rarely completely silent. Mm. This is something that they did out loud. They were oral as a culture. And so for him to say is to never let it not, it's literally, you must be speaking it, as it says in Deuteronomy 6, in the morning as you walk by the way, when you go and lay down at night, speak it to your children, your families. Literally everything we do, it needs to come back to what does the Word of God say?
That's like praying scripture.
Oh, that's rich.
You know, that is rich, and I'm not very good at it, I have to admit, but I'm working on it.
You're better at it than what
you
think.
I'm working on it, let's put it that way. But, yeah, it's just, you know, you hear people that can just fluently do that, and you just admire them that they can do that, you know, and speak word constantly.
Yeah.
You know it's in them.
It is in them.
Yeah.
You know, and I want that. I'm with
I
you,
do too.
I want that.
It.
I want that. And to be Bev Mahoney is, do you know Bev?
I do know Bev.
She's my person that I admire, that I look up to here in the city. Amazing prayer warrior. Mm-hmm. And one day we were praying at a church function and just ended up, I was blessed in that when I turned around, I got to pray with Bev.
Yeah.
And I was so excited. And when I was done praying, she goes, you know, Tara, you quoted da-da-da, da-da-da in your prayer, and that was just such a perfect prayer. Now, I was praying the Word of God, but I had no idea where the address was. And, I mean, she knew as I was praying, what I was praying was certain verses in the Bible. It blew my mind away.
It blows my mind, too.
Yeah, it was like,
and I'd love to do that, yes.
I think I've probably prayed a couple of times. Let me have a little of her mantle.
Oh. Yeah, she's an awesome prayer warrior.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're listening, Bev, hi.
Yeah, we love you, Bev, very much.
You.
I thank you, because I can't tell you how many times she's told me, God woke me up and I was praying for you last night. Yeah, it's awesome. And I have had many times where Greg and I may have been struggling in our marriage or something, and she would say, you know, God put it on my heart. I am praying for your marriage. And I just kind of look at her like, oh, okay, thank you.
She's very sensitive to the Spirit.
Yeah. Do not let it go to the left or the right. Meditate on it day and night. And be careful, it says, be careful to do everything written in it. That's hard.
That's quite it is hard.
That, you know, because every moment.
Right and wrong.
Well, and every moment has the potential for us to sin.
Yes, because we are sinners.
Yeah. And it has the potential, it doesn't even have to be where it's a huge blatant sin.
No.
It can be that I can misappropriate the Word of God, or I can misinterpret the heart of somebody, or, I mean, there are so many factors that can come into it that we may not even have a clue what's going on. And so asking God to help us. And he says here, the promise is, so you will be prosperous.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, God, really? So taking your word into my heart, into my mind, to allowing my mind to be so infiltrated with your word so that my heart is changed. He says, I'll be prosperous. And I've thought about that. I don't want what our society says is prosperous. I don't want the big house or the cars or any of that stuff. I want it to be, when I die, somebody says, she loved the Lord.
Absolutely.
I knew Jesus when I was with her. I knew I was going to hear a word from God. I knew, you know what I mean?
They do know that with you, Tara.
Oh,
they do.
Thank you. To the glory of God. But that is the prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
It's of character. of...
I should have looked that word up, shouldn't have I?
The prosperity.
Well, or let's, prosperous.
You know. Prosperous. Okay, that is in verse... that's the end of verse 8.
Yeah, I've got it in here, but I was just
and
thinking the word.
Do you know my commentary does not reference it at all in my NIV study Bible? And so our thoughts would be it's just God's view of what mm-hmm. is successful.
But it would be interesting to see. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
I need to bring my dictionary.
Next time you'll have your dictionary or you're going to have your little iPad
yeah.
out. I'm going to look that one up, Tara. Because, you know, if you touch on your iPad, it'll give you the dictionary definition. I love that.
Well, I haven't figured that out.
I will
help.
Show you.
Okay.
I will show you because it's a great tool. The last one is he says, he finalizes it after saying it. This is the third time. He says, be strong and courageous. And then he goes into, do not be afraid or discouraged. I'm sorry. How often it is that when God is calling us out, when he has a land that he already owns. In fact, Sandy, open up your Bible. I want you to read a verse for us before we get to the end. We'll end it here and then we'll bring it back in at the opening next time to take it in deeper. There is a verse in Psalm 24:1, and would you read to us what Psalm 24:1 has to say about God and the land, the earth? It's okay, you're okay.
24:1.
Psalm 24:1. And we're going to examine to see what it says to say, and then let's apply it here with what's going on with Joshua. And Joshua has been told to go and possess the land. Okay,
all
you got
right,
it?
Here it is. Whoops, excuse me. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters.
All right.
I did one and two.
That's all right. Who owns it?
God.
What does he own?
Everything.
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 Everything. And he's asked Joshua to lead the people to possess the land from the sunrise to the sunset, from the sunset to the sunrise.
That's amazing.
That is incredible. We're so glad. I mean, to hear that, to be able to know God owns everything. And he says, I want you to go out and own the land. But here's the reality. God owns it, but Joshua still has to go to battle.
Mm-hmm.
He has to go to war, and war is not easy. And the thing is that we can look at this and say it's a physical battle because they have squatters in the land. He has to get rid of the squatters. And anybody looking at it might think it's just a physical battle. But the reality is before they can go in and deal with that which is a physical battle, they have to confront that which is spiritual. And come back next week, and we're going to talk more in depth on that. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we'd love to hear from you. God bless.